you need to be able to know for yourself, and you need to be able to demonstrate in a hearing that your clients are genuinely disabled. So psychologists have come up with a lot of different tests to catch someone who's pretending to be more impaired than they really are. All the tests kind of have similar approaches. The basic idea is that the test seems as if it could be hard, but in fact is easy even for people with known to have severe brain disorders. It might be easy for people with intellectual disability or with severe amnesia, for example. So one approach is to look for performance that's worse than chance. If you give someone a test for which there's a two-choice response, and then even someone who was just guessing would get it right 50% of the time. So if you have a client who consistently gets less than 50% right on tests like that, they're probably trying to get the wrong answer. Another approach is to use a test that starts with easy items and then gradually gets harder and harder until even someone with way above average IQ would have to guess. These might be forced choice, two choice items, or they might have more than two choices, in which case chance might be 25% if it's out of four choices. Anyway, typically, you can see this on the graph here, typically people who are trying to do well on the test will start out scoring well on the easy answers, and then their scores will get lower and lower as the items get harder until you're pretty much down to guessing level. But you see the reverse pattern in someone who's malingering. They start out doing poorly because they're on the easy items because they're trying to do well, and then on the difficult items their score goes up because by that point they have to actually guess which one is the wrong answer. So their scores look much more like those of people who are really trying on the hardest items. Now another approach is to use a test that asks people to do some kind of memory task that seems as if, boy, this would be really hard. It looks like it would be really complicated. But in fact, there's lots of research that shows that even people who are missing the part of their brain that has their entire memory system can do this kind of memory test. So if someone does poorly on that, claiming they have memory problems, then we know that's not a typical pattern for someone with memory problems. So likely the person who does poorly on such an item is malingering, feigned effort, feigned impairment. But you do want to use the best malingering tests. Some are more sensitive than others. By sensitive, I mean if it's not sensitive, the test might miss some people who are actually not really impaired, some people who are malingering. So the Ray 15-item memory test, it's very commonly used, but it's not very sensitive. You have the same problem with the Warrington recognition memory test. But there are other tests that are very good. Now, there are big issues that come up in using malingering tests with minority clients, especially those for whom English is not their first language. So basically what happens is that even minority clients who are giving an honest effort, when they have no benefit they can get from scoring lower on the test, they'll still score lower on average than Caucasians. So if you just use the same cutoffs for malingering that you used with Caucasians, you would sometimes accuse people of malingering who are not. So, if you have minority clients, make sure your expert witnesses use malingering tests that are valid across languages and across ethnic groups. And for some of these groups, you need lower cutoffs on some of these tests. So good sensitive ones, the dot counting test, certain way of looking at the digit span, which is one of the subtests on an IQ test. The test of memory malingering. Now the Ray 15-item test, not only is it not sensitive among Caucasians, but it's particularly problematic for Latinos with English as a second language, so it's just not a good one to use with minority clients. Now, most neuropsychologists are very well aware of these issues and really keep up to date on this, particularly the ones that do forensic evaluations. So you're going to have good expert witnesses who know what they're talking about here. But you may run into the occasional psychologist who's not, so I just want you to have this information. If you have minority clients, do make sure that these issues with testing in minorities come up in the hearing. You don't want a minority client who's genuinely disabled to be accused of malingering just because you happen to end up with an expert witness who wasn't aware of the issues with testing minorities. So make sure your expert witnesses know how to deal with minority clients. Most of them will know about this stuff. Now, as I said, I went through a lot of things in this talk, and I want to make sure you have the information you need. So all these PowerPoint slides are available on my website, including at the end here, and I'll show you that, sort of bibliography of some of the scientific articles and books that you might want to refer to. There are also tip sheets and some articles there. And by June 18th, I will have finished revising a book chapter for the Handbook of Social Neuroscience on how to assess traumatic brain injury patients and patients with frontal lobe damage. And I'm happy to email that to anyone who's interested. Just email me, vestone@assesscompetency.com, and I will send that to you. We have a limited time for questions, so I just wanted to make more time available to answer questions. I'm going to have a free conference call on Tuesday, June 16th from 10 to 11 a.m. You can ask questions, get them answered, listen to others' questions and answers. That's often very helpful, too. I can just go into more specifics about all the things I talked about and make them relevant to any cases you may be working on. Definitely check the info in the written materials on the handouts. Those are also available on my website. I put a lot of terminology in the jargon dictionary. It's kind of like a foreign language phrasebook, and I detailed some online resources for you too in another handout. So I want you to be able to get all your questions answered about traumatic brain injury. Thank you very much.